Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. In our gospel, we have Jesus acting in his gracious capacity as our teacher and our redeemer, and we see two very different reactions to the ministration of Jesus. In contrast to the faith of the blind man, the apostles, when they receive teaching of the central reality and fact of the Christian religion, the most important part of the whole shebang. And the Bible tells us in very embarrassing words, they understood none of these things. This saying was hid from them. Neither knew they the things that which were spoken. In other words, they didn't get it. They didn't get it at all. They really didn't get it. And here's the thing. They were not alarmed that they didn't get it. They kind of shrugged it off. They kind of buried it down inside. You know, it's like a modern Christian who is struggling with doubts and struggling with questions that they can't answer. But they do not take these questions and doubts to Jesus in prayer. They do not search the scriptures to find the answers, and they do not consult with their pastors in order to have their doubts assuaged or allayed and be taught how to deal with such things. Instead, what they do is they bury them down inside. They don't talk about them very much, and they let these things fester and do harm inside of them. It's hard to have faith in the Word of God when you got this little gnawing spider of doubt down in your gut. You see? These disciples, they heard Jesus saying these things. It didn't compute. This didn't sound like the religion they'd been brought up on. He must be talking figuratively. So, they missed the boat. To their own harm, they missed the boat. Now, Jesus knew that they were going to go through this. Jesus also knew that even though they did themselves harm by their unbelief and misunderstanding, yet after his resurrection, when they were convinced of the truth, they would remember that he said these things to them, and it would strengthen and confirm their faith. You know, sometimes there are things we can't really hear them now, either because we're not paying attention or we're not ready to hear them now. But we hear them anyway, and they don't make that much sense to us. And then down the road, when we've been through a number of experiences, when God has spoken to us many other things through his word, then we remember those things that we didn't get when we first heard them, and we go, oh, that's what that was all about. And so Jesus, in his grace and in his goodness, he doesn't rebuke them for their slowness of heart. He knows that eventually they're going to get it. Eventually they're going to get it. Contrast to this, we got this blind man, and he's got nothing. First of all, he's a beggar. He doesn't even make a living doing an honest day's work. He stands on the side of the road begging for gifts from people who pass by. Why? Because he was blind. And blindness is not only the lack of vision, but it's also a reproach. Because in the undercurrent of the Jewish understanding of life in the day, if you were afflicted by some kind of thing like that, blindness, deafness, a speech impediment, or maybe you walked with a severe limp, or whatever it was, people looked at you and wondered what it is that you did to make God so angry with you that he would afflict you like that. You see? And so not only was this guy a blind beggar, but he was the kind of person that most decent people, quote unquote decent people, would dismiss and think ill of. He's standing on the side of the road, and there's a multitude of people going by, a parade going by, and he's standing there, he goes, "What's all this? What is this?" And they say, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." And this guy goes into overdrive. Boom! He starts howling, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Why does he do that? Because this man, when you're blind, your hearing gets very acute. And this man has been hearing stories of Jesus. He's been listening to people say the things that Jesus has said, the miracles that Jesus has performed. And this man has been internalizing all of this gospel content. And when he hears that this guy, this wonder-working guy, who he has heard these things about and has concluded, even though he's never met Jesus, he has concluded that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ. When he hears that this man is not only around, but that he's going to pass right by, he cannot hold back anymore. And in faith, he cries out. Number one, he calls Jesus the Son of David. That is, he confesses him to be the Christ, the Son of the living God. Son of David. And then he says, "Have mercy on me," because he knows that the Messiah is the one through whom God's mercy is brought to the needy of the earth. And so he confesses Christ as the Messiah, and he begs for God's mercy from Christ. What happens? Well, everybody says to him, all these so-called upright people, they say, "Will you shut up? Right? Will you hold? You're ruining it for everybody else, you embarrassing old kook." Right? That's basically what, "Shut up." Right? And how does he respond? "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." He will not be deterred. He knows that the Christ, the Son of God, is walking by. He knows that God's mercy is embodied in the person and work of Jesus. And he's not going to miss out on this opportunity. "Have mercy on me." Despite the annoyance of all the people in the crowd, this smelly old git, right? Jesus stops. He says, "Bring that guy over here." And so they bring him over. Jesus looks at him and says, "What do you want me to do for you?" And he says, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." And Jesus says two things to him. Number one, he says, "Receive thy sight." And number two, he says, "Thy faith hath saved thee." his faith was found in his confession. He confessed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. That's what Son of David means. And he confessed that God's mercy comes to men through the Christ. And therefore, he had saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as his Redeemer. And Jesus commends his faith and saying that your faith has saved you. So we see two things. Jesus grants him his request and then commends his faith. The man says, glory be to God. All right? It says, he immediately received his sight and followed Jesus, glorifying God. All right? So let's just look for a moment at how we see the faith of this man. First of all, he learns about Christ from what he has heard, just like we do. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. And when he heard that Jesus was drawn near to him, when he heard about the presence of Christ, his faith grew. And he became sure that Christ would be merciful to him. Second thing is, he cried for mercy. He didn't cry for a reward of his goodness. He cried for mercy. Thirdly, he publicly confesses Christ despite everyone telling him to shut up. Fourthly, he struggles not only with his own weakness and his own conscience, but also with the opposition of the world. And despite this struggle, he stands fast, he prevails, and he wins. Despite the devil, despite the world, and despite his own flesh. And finally, he follows Christ, praising and thanking God in Christ, and he becomes an occasion for other people to glorify God and to glorify Christ. All right, now, so we see this contrast. Jesus is telling the 12 the most important thing that he has to tell them to get them ready for what's going to happen soon. And every time he brings up the subject, they trail off and don't get the message. Jesus even says things like, let these words sink into your ears. But they don't get it. They don't get it. And then it happens. Everything he said happens. And they are utterly blown away. And they are sitting in despair. And when Jesus appears to them, risen, they are convinced and they remember everything he said to them and they go, oh, and they finally get it. And listen to me, they were then willing to suffer everything, even death itself, rather than fall away from Jesus. And that accounts for the truth of Christianity in a large way. How do we know that the Christian faith is true? I mean, couldn't these guys have made it up? Couldn't they have had hallucinations? Couldn't they have just created a religion out of wishful thinking? I mean, it's hard to admit that you were wrong. Maybe they said, you know, maybe we can make some lemonade out of these lemons. You know, maybe we can make a religion that sounds good. You know, who knows? You know, well, we know. Because listen, when you know that you've been lying, you know that what you have preached to others, you know that it's not true. You know that Jesus never really rose again. You know that he isn't really the Son of God. You may be willing to teach that in good days, but you will not die for it. You will not die for what you believe is a lie. You will deny Christ rather than die for a lie. Right? And so it is that the fact of the apostles and their confidence in the Lord Christ and their establishment of the truth of the Christian faith as eyewitnesses of His glory. At first, every time He tried to talk to them about it, in one ear, out the other. But finally, they get it. God's word is never wasted. All right. If you don't get it today, you'll get it next week. If you don't get it next week, you'll get it this summer. You'll get it next year sometime. God's word does not return to Him empty. It accomplishes its purpose. But anyway, how is the Lord encouraging us in our faith? Number one, by reminding us of the centrality of the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus. This is the keystone of the whole Christian faith. And as long as we keep our eyes on this keystone, things are well with our faith. Secondly, as we look at Jesus teaching the apostles and stopping and responding to the request of the blind man, granting him his request and commending his faith, we are being invited by Jesus to believe the same things, to hold fast to the same things, to bear the same crosses, to wrestle with the same struggles, but to come out as victors and to come out as winners, like this wonderful blind man who now sees, and like the apostles who, though for a while they were dense, they did not remain dense, but they became the great confessors of the truth of God in Christ, and they were willing to suffer everything, including death itself, rather than to deny Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.